we are holding on Lummid Tess, Lummid Bay, six lines from the bottom. A line against Mahlokas. We learned yesterday about, we started talking yesterday about the beginning of bathing on Shabbos. We said that there is a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, which we're going to deal with in more detail today, about that you're not allowed to go to, that you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos, even if your whole body, even if the water was heated up before Shabbos, because as the Gemara is going to say later on, you have bathhouse attendants who would heat up the water on Shabbos and claim they did it before Shabbos. So we mentioned in that connection a three-way machlokas about, so that's as far as bathing. So you have a three-way machlokas about what you're allowed to do with rinsing off with water on Shabbos, in other words, showering. You had the mayor saying that you're not allowed to even shower on Shabbos in hot or cold water. Rav Shimon saying both of them are mutter, it's only bathing in it, that's also but showering in it would be mutter, says Rav Shimon. And Rabbi Yehuda has said that it's allowed in hot water, but not in cold water. It's allowed in cold water, but not in hot water. So we said that when in our Mishnah, when we have the story with the Amshe Tveria over there, with their hot water pipe, with their cold water pipe going through the hot springs of Tveria, and the Chacham told them that if it passes, that whatever water comes through there on Shabbos, you're not allowed to use for bathing, that would be according to Rav Shimon, because if it had been heated up before Shabbos, then Rav Shimon would allow you to at least rinse yourself off with it, pour it over yourself. But because it was on Shabbos, then even Rav Shimon would say that not. So now further on that machlokas, Amar Rabbi Baba Chana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Baba Chana in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that you're not allowed to shower on Shabbos in hot water, but you're allowed to in cold water. On the later of Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef asked Rabbi Baba Chana, the Feirush Shmielach or the Klolush Shmielach? Did you hear explicitly from Rabbi Yechanan that the halacha is like a Yehuda in this case, or is it that you inferred it from something else that Rabbi Yechanan had said, which in that case, it might be a correct inference, it might not. So if you want to ask my Klola, what is that inference what is it that Rabbi Yechanan might have said in a different context, which Rabbi Yosef is saying that maybe Rabbi Baba Chana incorrectly inferred from that he means to say the halacha here is like Rabbi Yehuda. So like this, the Omer of Tanchum, Omer of Yechon, and Omer of Yanai, Omer Rav, or Rebbe, it says on the side over here, Chomachim Shatam Moses, Shnayim Chalukim Ve'echam Machria. Any time, in general, when you find two Tanoim who are arguing, and one of them is Machria, One of them gives a middle ground. Now, in this case, this is an example of that, because you have Rav Shimon, the mayor saying that it's also whether with hot or cold water. Rav Shimon saying it's allowed both of them. And Rav Yehuda saying hot, no, cold, yes. That's called machria, because you know, he's taking the middle ground. And you even have, in some places, the Gemara talks about the idea, Now it wouldn't be machria if, let's say, if Rabbi Yehuda had just said it's osur without specifying hot or cold, and Rabbi Shimon had said it's mutter, and then Rabbi Yehuda would come in and say hot is osur, cold is mutter, that wouldn't necessarily be called machria, because he's bringing in Rashi and Tosfos discuss this over here and in some other places, that they're bringing in a new factor that neither one of them brought in. Neither one of them said anything about hot or cold. They just said generically also a mutter. So he's the one who's saying hot, I mean, there's a difference between hot and cold. That wouldn't necessarily be considered machriya. But over here, you have explicitly Rabbi Yehuda is mentioning hot and cold, implying, in other words, not Rabbi Yehuda, sorry, the mayor. In other words, the mayor is saying, I know there might be a logical reason to distinguish between hot and cold and say that cold should be mutter. Nevertheless, I don't accept that there should be any such distinction, and therefore I say that both of them are mutter. And then Rabbi Yehuda would be coming and saying, okay, but the fact of the matter is there is a difference between hot and cold, and we should take that difference into consideration. So that's called machria. So we're giving a rule over here, which Rabbi Yechanan had said, ultimately goes back to Rebbe, you were saying, that whenever you find like that, a three-way machlokas and one of them is machriya, halacha kedivrei hamachriya, generally speaking, the halacha is like the machriya, like that third opinion, which takes a middle ground. And the reason basically is because then when it comes out, there's one idea that is, that Rashi says over here, is because then it comes out that you have two tanoim holding each way. In other words, for example, you have, let's say, when it comes to hot water, you have two tanoim saying that it's also. Rav Meir saying it's always also. Rav Yehuda saying it's also with hot water. So it's two against one against Rav Shimon. It would be matzah. When it comes to cold water, it's the other way around. You have Rav Meir saying it's osur, but you have Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda saying it's mutter. Therefore, the halacha would be that cold water would be mutter, because again, you have two against one. So that's the general rule. Chutz mikulei matlonius, with the exception of the pieces of cloth that you're using for, so that you're using for unimportant purposes, which we talked about back on Dachot Test. We had a short sugya on the topic of a piece of cloth that we said was more than 3x3 etzvos, but less than 3x3 tefachim. That we said, suppose you're using it not, and suppose it's made of wool or linen, so it is mekabel tumah in that size, but we said that if you're using it for kulei matloni, if you're using it only for one of the lesser purposes for which you might use a piece of cloth that size, for example, we said over there, as a pot holder, or to stop up a drain plug or whatever. So then we say even though in that case you have a three-way machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer is machmir and says that's still always a kabel tumah. We said over there, we had a whole discussion over there about where exactly you put it, whether you threw it away in the garbage, whether you put it in a box, whether you hung it on a hook or put it behind the door or whatever. So we said that there are certain cases over there where Rabbi Eliezer is machmir and says it's still a kabel tumah, where Rabbi Shua makel, and in those same cases Rabbi Shua says it's not a kabel tumah, where Rabbi Akiva machriya, and Rabbi Akiva comes up with Rabbi Akiva comes up with a middle ground where he says that depends if it was he says that if you hung it on a hook then it's still makabel tumah, but if you threw it behind the door it's not makabel tumah. So then the rule we're saying over here is ein halacha kedivrei machriya. In that particular case only the halacha is not like the machriya, it's not like Rabbi Akiva. For two reasons. Chodah did Rabbi Akiva Talmud. Number one, Rabbi Akiva is a Talmud against Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, who are his Rabbeim. Unlike in our case over here, where you have the mayor of Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda are all colleagues. Besides that, Chodah did Rabbi Akiva Lagabei did Rabbi Yeshua. As we said in that sugya, in the previous parak, that actually Rabbi Akiva ended up changing his mind and accepting Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. So now, this is a general rule that we're saying. So now, Rabbi Yosef is saying, Kedav Baba Chana. So now, in the case of the three-way machlokas over here, about showering on Shabbos, when you're saying, in the name of Rabbi Yosef, and the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, is that just based on this rule? And therefore, you're inferring from that rule, you're deducing from that rule, that in this case, also, the halacha would be like Rabbi Yehuda? Or did Rabbi Yosef say explicitly that in this case, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara asks, so the Miklolamai. So what's wrong if Rabbi Baba Chana learned it, inferred it from the general rule? Either way, it amounts to the same thing. You could say it shows halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef's objection is, Dumahani milag masnitsi. Maybe that rule only works when you have the machloikas in a Mishnah. Like that case of the court, so the Kuli Machlonius is a Mishnah in the Death of Canaan. Maybe not necessarily when machlokas is only born in a braisa, and in particular in this case over here, the Stam Mishnah. We said that our Mishnah, which tells about the story of the Anshei Tiberia, we said is according to Rav Shimon. Rav Yochanan himself, in fact, says that usually the halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. So maybe we would say that in this case, where you only have where the machlokas is presented only in a braisa, maybe that rule wouldn't work. Maybe we wouldn't say halacha kedivrei machriya in that case. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef is saying, I'm not sure whether we should accept that conclusion. On my leg, so Rabbi Baba Chana tells him, I'm not the fairish. No, I actually did hear explicitly from Rabbi Yochanan that, yes, usually halacha is stam mishnah, but in this particular case, because Rabbi Yehuda is a machriya, we don't care about the fact that the argument is in a braisa rather than a mishnah. We don't care that it contradicts the implication of our stam mishnah. Nevertheless, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's it. So given the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda would mean you're not allowed to shower in hot water on Shabbos, and that means, again, we're talking about even if the water was heated up before Shabbos. Now, you know, for most of us anyway, when it comes to hot water on Shabbos, there's a different issue. You turn on the hot water faucet, so hot water starts coming out of your boiler, new cold water goes in there to replace it. Then you have a different issue, that water is getting heated up by the boiler on Shabbos. That's a whole different issue, which you can't use hot water on Shabbos in general for any purpose. So the only way would be if you turned off your boiler before Shabbos, or if you have some kind of bypass system, or we were talking yesterday about those solar heaters that they have in Israel where they can turn off the electric element. But here what we're saying is, on top of that, the halacha anyway is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos, as we're going to discuss soon. Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can't even shower in hot water on Shabbos. So in principle, you would be allowed to with cold water, although the minhag is not even to bathe or shower on Shabbos in cold water, because in Shulchan Aruch, I mentioned there are various complications involved. If you're doing it outdoors, then you have, for example, you're dipping a river, then you have the issue you have to make sure to dry off within 4 amas, so you're not carrying the water on you in Rosh Hashanah or in Chaimelis. You have to make sure when you're drying yourself that you don't squeeze out your hair. So because of those kinds of issues, in general, people avoid the minhag to avoid bathing or showering on Shabbos, even in cold water. Okay. So continuing the Gemara.
All this discussion is related to the coals. Now, if you had a machine that constantly heats.
No, wait. What we're talking, this isn't so much about the coals. I mean, ultimately, the Gzera goes back to something like that. Yeah, but in other words, as the Gemara is going to say soon, we have Gzera smechatzois, we have a Gzera not to bathe in hot water on Shabbos because of these bathhouse attendants who were careless with Hilchos Shabbos, and because of that, the Chachamim made the rule that we don't want you to bathe in hot water on Shabbos at all. So again, as we talked about yesterday, going to the mikveh is something different. You have the Kovid Nathanael saying that maybe the Gzera was never meant to apply to a mikveh in the first place. But when it comes to bathing or showering or swimming or whatever, then you have the Zeres Mechatzoris again, even if the water was heated up before Shabbos. Okay. So now let's talk more about that. Itzman. Kamin Shahuchmu Me'er of Shabbos. If water was heated up before Shabbos, so you have a machoikas Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar L'macha Roset Behem Kol Gufay Ever Ever. Now, Rav and Shmuel both agree that you can't bathe in that water your whole body all at once because that would be Gzeres Nefesh. But Rav says what you could do is you could wash one part of your body at a time. So you have this hot water, it was heated up before Shabbos. You have a kettle of hot water or whatever, it was heated up before Shabbos. What you do is then you first wash your face, then later on you wash one arm, then the other arm, et cetera, et cetera. And at the end, it comes out, you've washed your whole body, but not all together. That's Rav. Or Shmuel Amar Lohitiru Ela Lichitz Pon of Yadavir Lohitiru Lichitz Ela Pon of Yadavir Aglam. Shmuel says, no, the only heter is to wash your face and hands and feet with such water, and that's it, not the rest of your body. Okay, so Gemara says, Nasi, I have a contradiction. We learned before in a Braisa. We said, I'm not on the test on the base. We said, Chamin Shahuch Mume Erev Shabbos, hot water that was heated up before Shabbos, L'macha Reikofen Pon of Yadav V'Raglav, Ava Loiko Gufoy, then you're allowed to wash with it your face, hands, and feet, but not your whole body. So Tiyuk to the Rav, wouldn't that be a contradiction on Rav? To the point of Rav, you could wash your whole body with it, it's not all at once. The answer is okay. Omalak Rav, Lois, Kol Gufoy V'Vasachas, Ela Ever Ever. No, that's not what it means. It means you can't wash your whole body at once, but you can wash your body one part at a time. Question is, well, pun of Yadav V'Raglav, that's funny. What do you mean? It says you're not allowed to wash your face, hands, and feet. It says you're allowed to wash your face, hands, and feet. It seems to be that's it. Yes, it was okay. Pun of Yadav V'Raglav. Okay, what it means is you have to wash your whole body like the way you would wash your face, hands, and feet. Meaning, in other words, that's meaning you wash your face, then your hands, then your feet. So the same way, in other words, you're not washing them all together. The same way over here, you'd have to wash one body part at a time, Rav would say. Okay. Tashma, let's see another braita. Lo yitziru b'cham luchus b'cham and shahuchmu be'erev Shabbos el upon of yadav v'raglav. You have another braita that says a little more clearly, that says they didn't allow you to wash in hot water that was heated up on erev Shabbos only your face and hands and feet. Now there it seems to be more clearly only those as opposed to the rest of your body. So what would Rav do with that? Okay, the answer is, again, a hokinami ke'en pon of yadav v'raglav. Okay, again, you could say that Rav would say it means, even though it says Ella, fine, it means the only way you can wash is the way that you would wash your face, hands, and feet, one toe at a time. Not necessarily to say that you couldn't end up doing your entire body. Okay. So the Gemara says, fine, so we haven't contradicted Rav. Nevertheless, Tanya Kavasei de Shmuel, we do have a braita that in accordance with Shmuel, which says, Chamen Shehuchmu Me'erev Shabbos, water that was heated up before Shabbos, L'mocha Rofes Ben Pon of Yadav V'Raglav, you can wash on Shabbos, you can wash with it, your face, hands, and feet, Ava Loi Kol Gufay Eva Eva, but not your entire body one limb at a time, which is exactly what Shmuel is saying and what Rav is saying you can't do. Ve'ein Sarach Loimah Chamen Shehuchmu Be'yantav. Needless to say, the same din would apply to water that was heated up on Yom Tov, because if it was heated up on Yom Tov, then we need to be more machmir with that than we would with water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos. So fine, you are allowed to heat up water on Yom Tov, and you are allowed to heat it up for purposes of Tzorech Eichel Nefesh, but like we discussed yesterday, bathing your entire body in hot water is not considered Dabar Hashava L'chol Nefesh. It's not considered something that that most people do all the time. Okay, nowadays that people regularly take hot showers and baths, there's a discussion among the posts what the deal is with that. But at least in terms of black letter halacha. It's not considered shovel a whole nefesh because most people didn't do that on a regular basis. And therefore, so if you have water that was heated up on Yom Tov, surely you can't wash your whole body with it, not even one limb at a time. Okay, so that braisa supports what Shmuel is saying, and therefore the halacha indeed would be like Shmuel. The Gemara tells, Rabba Machnil HaShmaita V'Rab B'Hai Lishna. Rabba had a different version of how Rab's statement went. So again, we have Rab saying that you're allowed to wash your whole body because you have to do it one body part at a time. And Shmuel was saying that no, all you can do is face, hands, and feet. So Rabba has a different version of what Rab said. He says, Chamen Shehuchmu Me'erev Shabbos, that if water was heated up before Shabbos, L'mocha, that on Shabbos, Omer Rav, Roichet Sehen Kol Gufay, you are allowed to wash your entire body with it as long as Umeshayer Eber Echad, as long as you leave one body part that you don't wash. So this is the opposite, but very different than what we said before. Before Rav had said you are allowed to wash your whole body, but only if you do it one body part at a time. Here it's the opposite. Rav's version is you're allowed to wash your entire body as long as there's one body part that you don't wash. So the Gemara says, Eifikol Hanitziyota. Now we can ask the same questions from the various braises that we just quoted. We can ask the same question on Rava's version as we did on the original version, where we had various braises that said that you're not allowed to wash your whole body, only pun of yadav v'raglav. And in fact, Tiyukta, in fact, that's a clear contradiction on Rava's version, because before we were trying to say, okay, maybe Rav could understand those braises, in pun of yadav v'raglav, that you're washing one body part at a time. Here, that wouldn't even work, because if you're saying that you're allowed to wash your whole body minus one part, then it doesn't even work, or that doesn't work at all according to those braises. So therefore, that contradicts Rabba's version of Rav's statement. So Rav Yosef asks Abaya. Now, Abaya, we know, was Rabba's nephew and also his Talmud. So after Rabba passed away, then Rav Yosef would sometimes ask Abaya what about various things, how Rabba used to act, of how Rabba used to do things. Now, it's not necessarily, in this case, relevant to halacha, because, again, we just said, first of all, that the halacha is like Shmuel, and second of all, that we just contradicted Zamba's version of Rav's statement. But nevertheless, Rav Yosef wants to know. So he asked Abaya, Rabba Mika Ovid Kishmaite Rav, did Rabba, in fact, follow in practice his version of Rav's statement, that he would wash everything on Yotzer, on Shabbos, with water that was heated up before Shabbos, as long as he doesn't wash one body part? I'm going to lay lawyer down there. If I tell him, I don't know. I actually don't know what Rabba did in this question. So Gemara says, Mikey, by the way, what's Rav Yosef's question? She said, obviously Rabba didn't do it to Holy Tosa, because after all, we just said, he slugged up his version of Rab. We showed that there are brides that are not like him. Okay, the Gemara says, Dilma lo shimile. Okay, but you could say maybe Rabba had not heard of those reputations. Meaning, so what does that mean? So the Marshal turns out that there were a number of places in the Gemara where lo shmiyali means where a person says or says about a certain person, lo shmiyali, he or I didn't hear it, and what it really means that he didn't accept it, kolon lo shmiyali, that he didn't consider that a valid svara. So the Marshal wants to say that maybe that's what the Gemara means over here also, is that even though we have those reputations, maybe Rabba didn't consider them to be serious reputations. He would find ways to reconcile those brises according to his opinion, according to his version of Rav, besides which anyway, Rav is a Tana. He's technically able to argue with brises anyway. So therefore, so the Marshal says that maybe what the Gemara means over here is that Rabba doesn't necessarily have to accept these reputations against his shitta, and therefore maybe that's what Rav Yosef is asking. Marshal says, no, that's not what it means. It just means this that we said, that we brought these contradictions, and we said that, and we said we slugged up Rabba's version, that wasn't necessarily a discussion that took place right then and there in the Beis Medrash in Rabba's time. That's the stomach of the Gemara talking. That's the stomach of the Gemara. That's the editorial comment of the Gemara pointing that out, that we can contradict, we can refute what Rabba is saying on the basis of those prices. But Rabba may not have heard of those reputations, and therefore he could have figured that his version of Rab's statement is still valid. Okay, so the question is the Eloshniyale. So the question is the other way around. Still, why is Rav Yosef asking whether in that case Rabba followed it or not? Obviously, if Rabba felt that his version of Rav's statement is still valid, if, like the Marshal says, he didn't accept that the spirits against it are valid, or if, like Marshal says, he just didn't hear of those spirits at all, then obviously he would follow Rav, because we know Dhamar Abaya, because we learned previously that Abaya said, Kol really Gemar, everything that my Rebbe did, his Rebbe being Rabba, Ovid to Rav, he would always follow Rav in all areas of halacha, bar mehani tlach to Ovid to Shmuel, with the exception of three things where he would do like Shmuel. Number one, matilin mebege mebege, that you're allowed to take this off of one item of clothing and put it onto another, and we don't say it's a bizoyan of the mitzvah to take it off the old palace and put it on a new one. We learned at the second parak that was Rab called you and said you can't do that, but the Rabba would follow Shmuel in that. Number two, umadlikin menor lener, you're allowed to light one candle of the menorah on Hanukkah from the other one, which we learned about that also in the second parak in the whole sugya of Hanukkah. We had a whole this Rab and Shmuel whether you're allowed to do that. And number three, the halacha of Shimon Begrira. Number three is that Rabba would say that when it comes to the question of dragging a bench or a chair or whatever on the dirt, where we discussed before, we discussed also in the second paragraph, that process, whether you're allowed, whether Shimon would say that you're allowed to as long as it's not definitely going to dig up the dirt, because we said it's not psychoratia. And the Rav Shimon doesn't care if you accidentally dig up dirt, because malacha she'en tzricha l'gufa, you're not doing it for the sake of the malacha of digging like they did in the Mishkan. or you're not doing it for, you know, or you're not doing it, according to, we said over there, according to Rashi, according to other Rishonim, that you're not doing it because you really want to be in that situation. You're doing it because you have no choice, because the bench needs to get someplace else. We said as Machlokas or the Yehuda and Rav Shimon on this general question of Malacha She'enet Tzricha L'Gufa. We said Shmuel holds the Halacha as Rav Shimon, and Rabba in turn followed that and followed Shmuel's Shitta, that Halacha as Rav Shimon, and would say that you're allowed to drag a bench on Shabbos. So the point is, we see that Rabba would always follow, other than that, Rabba would always follow Rab. But if we said that Rabba, as far as Rabba knows, Rab, his version of Rab's statement is still valid because we haven't shrugged it up, then why is Rav Yosef asking whether Rabba followed it? Obviously, we know the general rule. He would generally follow Rab. The answer is not necessarily, because maybe Kichumre did Rab of it, Kichumre did Rab of it. Not necessarily, because we could say maybe Rabba follows Rab in his Chumras. In everywhere where Rab is Nachmir or Shmuel, then he follows him with the exception of the three things that we just said. His kulos are Rav of it. Not necessarily did he follow the kulos of Rav. So in this case, Rav is more makel than Shmuel, because according to Rav's version, or the Eder version actually, but especially according to Rav's version of Rav, you're allowed to wash your entire body on Shabbos in hot water, as long as the water was heated up before Shabbos, and as long as you don't wash one body part, that's a significant kula compared to Shmuel. Maybe not necessarily does Rav follow the kulos of Rav. Maybe he would say when it comes to when Rav is makel against Shmuel, maybe then he would in fact follow Shmuel. So that's why Rav Yosef was asking the question. So anyway, the bottom line is the halacha is like Shmuel, that even if the water was heated up before Shabbos, all you're allowed to wash with it on Shabbos is pun of yod v'raiva, your face, hands, and feet. And you can wash other small parts of your body also, as long as you're not washing the majority of your body. Okay. More on this topic. Tanya, if you have a bathhouse where they plugged up the hole before Shabbos. Now, what hole? Rashi says two explanations. One is you have a hole in the walls or something through which the yeast goes out. So like this, they plugged up the holes. They plugged up the holes before Shabbos, so the heat stays inside. The second explanation, Rashi says, is the other way around. In the floor of the bathhouse. Now we learned in Brachos that the bathhouses in those days were typically made where there was an underfloor. You had the floor that people stand on. Underneath that floor is where they would put in the wood or coal or whatever and light it on fire, and the heat of that would rise up to heat up the floor from underneath, and then it would also heat up the water, and then you would have hot water to bathe in on Shabbos. So you had a hole in the floor for the heat to be able to more easily rise up. You don't just want to have the host of the heat is wasted on the underside of the floor. You want that some of it should actually come through into the bathhouse itself. So you'd have a hole in the floor here and there for that purpose. So here we're talking about, Rashi says, second explanation from his Rebbe is that they plugged up these holes before Shabbos such that the water is not getting heated up on Shabbos. So then, on the first Shabbos, then you would be allowed. You're still not allowed to bathe in that bathhouse on Shabbos because it's Xeris Merchafos, as we're going to talk about, but you are allowed to bathe in it right away as soon as Shabbos ends, meaning, in other words, you don't have to wait for the day she also. You don't have to wait for the amount of time it would take for the hot water to get heated up because the hot water hasn't yet. It hasn't gotten heated up on Shabbos. Because again, you plugged up the hole. So you don't have any significant amount of heat that's coming up through the floor on Shabbos to heat up the water. Similarly, if they plugged up the hole before Yom Tov, l'machar nichnes umezia, the next day on Yom Tov itself, you're allowed to go into that bathhouse and you're allowed to sweat. Now, sometimes you don't go into a bathhouse in order to actually bathe. Sometimes you just, um, sometimes you just go in there and you sweat from the heat over there. So I'm saying, so you'd be allowed to, so by the similar token, you'd be allowed to do that. You'd be allowed to, you'd be, if again, if the holes were plugged up previously, then you would be able to go in there on Yom Tov in order to be able to sweat. Now, actually, we're going to talk about food, and we're going to talk about food and data there was on that. So it's not so simple about going. It's not so simple about going in there to sweat. But here we're talking about a first stage of the Xera. We're going to discuss soon in the Gemara that there were various stages in this Xera of Mechasai. So there was a stage where you're allowed to, where you're allowed to go in there to sweat, but not to bathe. So this is what we're talking about over here. Where you were still allowed to go in and sweat. Now the same din actually applies to that, to Shabbos and to Yom Tov, but the Tosfos explains that the reason why the Braita separates them, the reason why the Braita mentions the bathing on Motzei Shabbos and sweating on Yom Tov rather than just saying both of them together is because. Could have just said that if they plugged up the holes on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, the next day you're allowed to go in there and sweat. And Motzei Shabbos and Motzei Yom Tov, you're allowed to bathe right away. But if it combined them together like that, then you would misunderstand and say that maybe later on when they made the Xera about sweating in the bathhouse, maybe that applies only to Shabbos and not to Yom Tov. So therefore the Braita separated them to make it clear that even on Yom Tov, you're allowed to sweat only in this case where the holes were plugged up before Shabbos. The yotze u'mishtatik b'bayis achesed, and then you can go rinse yourself off with cold water in the outer room of the bathhouse. Now we don't want you to do that in the inner room, Rashi says, because like this, if he rinses himself off in the inner room, then people are going to be choshed that he actually is bathing on Shabbos in hot water or rinsing himself off on Shabbos in hot water, which he's not allowed to. So therefore, if he does it in the outer room, then we allow him to. After you sweat, usually you need to rinse yourself off in order to get rid of the sweat. So like this, you're allowed to do that. Only if the holes were plugged before Shabbos, because otherwise the problem is that you have the water is getting heated up on Shabbos, and as we're going to say soon, there is in fact a Xera that you're not allowed to go and sweat in a bathhouse on Shabbos either. So we're going to tell Omer of Yehuda, so the Braita continues, Omer of Yehuda, Maisi b'merchas shal b'nei brach, it happened once at the bathhouse of b'nei brach, they did exactly that on Erev Yom Tov. They plugged up all the holes, so now no heat is getting into the bathhouse from under the floor. The next day, Rav Elazar ben Azariah and Rav Akiva went in there in order to sweat. Again, not in order to bathe, because there's no chatzos, but they went in there to sweat. They went out and rinsed themselves off in the outer room, just like we said you were allowed to. Ella, but Rabbi Yehuda adds, there was a further detail over there. The hot water over there was covered with boards. So the fact that it was covered with boards means, in other words, Rashi says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva would say that when they went and rinsed themselves off in the outer room over there using hot water, they had to make sure specifically that there was no concern at all that water might have been heated up on Shabbos. Now, like this, even if the holes are plugged up, you still have there's a fair amount of hot air in a bathhouse. And the water can get heated from that, just from the hot air, just from the heat of the room alone. So like this, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva were being careful that the water they used was completely heated up before Shabbos and didn't get any heat at all from the heat of the bathhouse, even once the holes are plugged up. And therefore he says that's the only way it would be allowed. Now, you have a question, though, that Rabbi Yehuda himself had said before that you're not allowed to rinse yourself off either with hot or cold water. Okay, so Tosfos says maybe Rabbi Yehuda would say there's a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Before, the machloekas he had before, the three-way machloekas was on Shabbos. Here we're talking about Yom Tov. the Rif and the Rambam actually disagree with that. The Rif and the Rambam say that you are allowed to that you are allowed to wash yourself with hot water on Yom Tov as long as it's heated up before Yom Tov. Apparently Rashi holds to that distinction. Tosfos himself says that no. What it means is when we say the water was covered with boards, what we mean is that it was actually cold water. So what they did is they made sure that the container of hot water was covered with boards. That way nobody thinks that they washed themselves with hot water. So in other words, again, according to Rashi, the reason why they had it covered with boards was to make sure that there's no possibility that it's heated on Shabbos at all, not even by the hot air of the bathhouse, or on Yom Tov, as the case may be. And on Yom Tov this was. And according to Tosfos, it was to demonstrate that they're doing dafka cold water, that they're not using hot water at all. Because otherwise, if the hot water was uncovered, people are going to think they took from there. When this case came to the Chachamim and the other Chachamim, they said that's not necessary. You don't need that. You don't need the hot water to be covered with boards. It doesn't matter, according to Rashi's explanation, even if the water gets a little extra heat from the air in the bathhouse, as long as the holes were plugged up before Shabbos and it's not getting most of its heat from under the floor. Or, according to Tosfos, we're not worried that people are going to think that you use hot water when instead you use cold water. So it's not actually necessary to have them covered up with boards. You can still do what we said before. You can go in there on Yom Tov and sweat, and then go into the outer room and rinse yourself off with water. Okay. Then continues the Braisa. So that was all stage one of the Gzeira, which is basically that you're not able to go into a bathhouse on Shabbos or Yom Tov unless under the conditions that we just said, where the holes were plugged up before Shabbos and you're going in there on Yom Tov or on Shabbos or on Yom Tov only to sweat. Then Mishirabu Ovre Avera. Later on, there were people who were doing Averas, which we're going to describe in a second what the Avera was. Then the Chachamim started making a zera that you're not allowed. Then the Chachamim started making a zera that you're not allowed to go in there even in order to sweat. But when it comes to the baths of large cities, you're allowed to take a walk through them on Shabbos. Sometimes, like this, people would go to the bath, not just in order to actually take a bath, but sometimes you had many, many bathhouses in those days, had all kinds of things attached to them. A bathhouse in those days was more like a relaxation center or something nowadays, and you had all kinds of different businesses, and they were not businesses, you can't do business on Shabbos, but whatever, you had all kinds of gardens and things attached to it that people would just go and take a walk around there and enjoy it. So you're allowed to walk through such a place on Shabbos, but any choshish, there's no concern that people are going to say that there's no concern that you're going in there to sweat, because since they're large, since it's a large bathhouse, Rashi says, then Rashi just says that we're not concerned that people are going to say that he went in there to sweat. The reason is because they're very large. The reason is because these bathhouses in the large cities are very large, so in a large area like that, it's not necessarily hot. The building is not necessarily hot enough to actually sweat in there unless you go into the actual shvizbud. So therefore, you would be allowed to walk through such a bathhouse on Shabbos even after the Gzeira, the Braisa says.
This is how it was on Shabbos or Yom Tov we're talking about?
So we're talking both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. What we're saying is, there were two steps in the Gzeira. We're going to actually discuss in a second, we're going to bring a Braisa, but there were actually more steps than that. But for right now, we're dealing with there were two steps. There was a very old Gzeira that you're not allowed to bathe in a bathhouse on Shabbos, as we're going to discuss in a second. Then on top of that, at some later point, the Chacham made a further Gzeira that you're also not allowed to go in there even just to sweat. But in this case, where you're walking through a large bathhouse, a large city bathhouse, and not necessarily are you even going to sweat in there, then you're allowed to walk through it on Shabbos.
Well, what's the concern with Yom Tov doing that?
Well, Yom Tov is the same problem as Shabbos, basically. It is true that you're allowed to heat up water on Yom Tov, but we said before that bathing your whole body in hot water is not considered shavah l'chol nefesh. This that we say, that you're allowed to do melechas eichol nefesh, that you're allowed to do melechas on Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to on Shabbos when it's for the purpose of food or related things, is only when it's shavah l'chol nefesh, only when it's the kind of thing that everybody enjoys equally, that everybody regularly does equally, as opposed to bathing in hot water, at least as things were in the time of the Gemara, is not considered shavah l'chol nefesh. It's not the kind of thing that most people do. Only like very rich or very finicky people would bathe in hot water, would bathe their whole body in hot water regularly. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it's not shavah l'chol nefesh, and therefore it's also on Yom Tov. So my Ovid Avera, what are the Ovid Avera that we're talking about? So like this, the Amr of Shimon and Tazi, Amr of Shul and Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, the Tchila HaYerechtin B'chamen Shehuch Mumah Erev Shabbos. Originally there was no problem. You were allowed to bathe on Shabbos in hot water that was heated up before Shabbos. What happened was, Tchila HaBalonim L'Hochem B'Shabbos. What happened was, there came a point when the bathhouse attendants, who themselves are Jews, were heating up the water on Shabbos, but only in the Erev Shabbos Hochmu, and they claimed falsely that it was heated up on Erev Shabbos. Now, the Rishonim bring over here, the Rashba brings over here from a Yerushalmi, they're not literally, I mean, we have the Jews in general are not suspected of literally being a Chal Shabbos on a Daraisa level like that, like going and deliberately heating up water on Shabbos, which is a Malacha Daraisa official, and falsely claiming that they did. So Yerushalmi explains what it means is actually that they would put the water, whatever, in before Shabbos and light it before Shabbos, but they would leave the holes open, the holes that we were talking about before, through which the heat comes up and heats up the water. So therefore, in effect, it's the equivalent of Shehiyah. It's the equivalent of what we talked about at the beginning of our Perek about leaving food on the fire before Shabbos, where there's the real concern that you're going to stir the coals up on Shabbos in order to increase the heat. So therefore, that's what these bathhouse attendants were doing, says the Yerushalmi, that they were being over on that. They weren't being over on the actual Issa Daraisa. They weren't literally going and lighting the fires on Shabbos, but they were being over on this Issa of Shehiyah, of having the water be heated up on Shabbos without removing the coals or covering them before Shabbos.
So this would be owned by a guy, or a yid would sell to a guy for Shabbos?
So far we're talking about where it's owned by a yid. We're owned by a goy. I mean, we're going to talk about later on, actually.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. If it's owned by a goy, of course, in theory, there shouldn't be an issue. But you know, it's still very easy to confuse the two of them. So therefore, the rule applies to both. So the rule applies to both. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So the problem was, they're heating up the water on Shabbos, or okay, they're causing the water to be heated up on Shabbos or whatever, and claiming that the whole thing was done before Shabbos. So therefore, so therefore that was when the first stage of the Gzeira came, where the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos. The Tzidu was Isaiah, but the Chachamim said, you're still allowed to go in there and sweat. So when we said before that we had this situation over there when they plugged up the holes and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva went in there and sweated, that was during this stage, when you were still allowed to sweat, when you were still allowed to go in there to sweat on Shabbos and Yom Tov. V'adai en ho'yerechtin b'chamin, but you still had a problem that people are coming and bathing in the hot water on Shabbos, but o'min mazin anachim, and they're saying that we're only going in order to sweat. So this is, we said before, that there's the Ovre Avera. And he said once there were more over Avera, then the Chachamim had to ask for the sweating. This is what we're talking about. There were people who were going in there, actually using the bathhouse, claiming falsely that they're only going in there to sweat. Therefore, also Lahan and Hazeah. So the Chachamim had to say that we're also to go in there in order to sweat. Now, at that point, though, it was still mutter to go into the hot springs of Tveria on Shabbos. Now, obviously, the hot springs themselves are hot not because you heat them up. They're naturally hot from underground. even if you add cold water to them, as we discussed before, it's really only also drabbanon because the hot springs in Tveria, we said are toldos chama. We said that they're not actually a tolda of something that was like heated up by the sun or by other natural processes like that. So therefore, the chachamim at that point didn't find it necessary to ask you to go to the hot springs of Tveria or other such hot springs on Shabbos. But then you still had a problem. People are going over there and bathing in water that was heated up by fire. Well, only the Hamas very rafatni, and claiming and lying and saying that they actually bathed in the hot springs of Tveria. So therefore, the only the Hamas very rafatni and saying we bathed in the hot springs of Tveria. Therefore, also the Hamas very. Therefore, the Chum had to add a further zera and say that even the hot springs of Tveria are also on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The only thing at that point that the Chum allowed is you're allowed to bathe in cold water on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But Ro'u She'ena Java Oyvind Lahem, the Chum saw that that last zera of the Hamas very is not going to last because if the only thing you're allowed to bathe in on Shabbos and Yom Tov is cold water, then people aren't going to be able to stand it. People aren't going to be able to hack it, and they're going to end up being over on something. So therefore, he threw them in Chametz Veria. So the Chachamim undid that last Zera. They said that you're allowed to bathe in Chametz Veria. The Zera, the primary medicine, but the Zera, the second Zera, about not sweating on Shabbos and Yom Tov, still is in place. So that's it. So even if the water was heated up before Shabbos, you're not allowed to bathe in it on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to sweat. You're not allowed to sweat from it on Shabbos.
And is there about sweating on Shabbos that was in Chametz Tveria as well?
So the Rambam actually says that if you're allowed to sweat by Chametz Tveria, but only if the place is not enclosed. If the place is enclosed, then the heat builds up in the room, and then you end up sweating in there. And the Rambam learns that then it would be also as well. The Rambam learns that when we say sweating is also, it means even sweating from Chametz Tveria if the place is enclosed. So the Shulchan Aruch brings out of the Yeshayim, and it says, okay, since it's a Dirabbanan, and the other Yeshayim disagree with the Rambam on that, so okay, we can be mabel on that. So according to most Yeshayim, and this is the Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, you would be allowed to sweat on Shabbos or Yom Tov in Chametz Tveria, even if it's an enclosed building, but not to sweat anywhere else. Okay. Amar Rava, so Rava says in this connection, Hai man over a dirabbanan, if a person is over on something that the Chachamim said on an issa dirabbanan, shori l'mitri le'avayana. You're allowed to call him an avayan, you're allowed to call him a person who does avedas. And it's not considered lashon hara, in other words. Now, obviously, we're not talking about that he did it one time, we're talking about that he does it, that he knows that he's breaking it, or he does it again and again, whatever. Kiman ki hai tana. That would be like the Tana that we just said, because we said that you had people who were over on the Gzera of the Chachamim, not the sweat, and because of that, the Chachamim had to answer it. They said they were going in there to bathe, actually, and claiming that they went in there to sweat, and even this whole Gzera of bathing in hot water was saying it was only Dirabana, and was saying that we're calling those people over a Gzera. So we see just the fact that they were over on him, Dirabbanan, is enough to make them somebody who's called an over Avera. We have, as we know, at the bottom of the first page of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe talks about the idea when we're defining what a tzaddik versus a rosha is, that even a person is over on an issue of the Dirabbanan, then he's called a rosha. The Alter Rebbe brings a few different sources in Gemara. He doesn't bring this one, but you have other places in Shas where you have similar concepts that a person is over on an issue that I've on, then he's called a Rasha. So here he's called an Avakian. Okay. Continuing with the Braisa, we said Avakias Shokrachim, we said that the bathhouses in big cities, Mikayoban, you're allowed to walk around in them on Shabbos. The Enichoshish, and there's no concern because it's a large building, and realistically, you're not likely to sweat over there. So Omar Rava, Dr. Kraken. So Rava says, when it says Kraken, when it says big cities, it means specifically big cities. Avol Tefarim Lod. You would not be allowed to do the same thing in a smaller bathhouse, the kind that you have in villages. my timer, why is that? Kiven de Zutrin, because since the building is small, nafesh hevlayu, you have much more heat in the building, in the room, and therefore you're much more likely to sweat, and therefore, in effect, it's considered to be that you went in there, that you went in there in order to sweat. More on this topic. So now we're done. Now we're done for the moment. Well, we're not completely, but we're basically done with this whole business about bathing on Shabbos. So now we're going to talk about other related dinim, other dinim that are related to this concept of bathing on Shabbos or doing other bath related things on Shabbos. So we're going to turn around on mischamim other kneged amadura. A person is allowed to warm himself up in front of a fire, the yotze u'mishtakek b'tzamin, and then afterwards go and rinse himself off and then shower with cold water. Now, obviously, this wouldn't work according to a mayor. We said before, a mayor doesn't allow you to shower even in cold water, but we said before, the halacha is like a yehoda, that you're allowed to. So therefore, we said the minhag nowadays is not to, but in principle, you are allowed to do that. You are allowed to rinse yourself off in cold water after having been in front of the fire. But you can't do the other way around. The Levatra, you stop at the sun in the Ishkan and Kenegan Amadura. You can't do it the other way around. Rinse yourself off with cold water and then go in front of the fire. Because then you're going to warm up the water that's on your skin. Now, you're not making it to the point of Yatzeladis body necessarily, but so Tosfos and a bunch of other Rishonim over here say that because it's similar to the Gzeiras Melchot that we're just talking about, we just said you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos. Here, in effect, you're bathing in hot water because you have now the water on your skin. now the water on your skin is becoming hot. In fact, there are Rishonim, the Baal Amor says that it's actually that it's an issue of Bishul, because normally you would say, okay, how is the water on your skin going to get to Yad Zeladis? But the problem is, because you're cold, you rinsed yourself off in cold water, but now you're freezing, you're standing in front of the fire, you're likely to get close enough to the fire that the water might even reach Yad Zeladis. So according to them, it's actually the ulcer because of the possible issue of Daraisa. So according to Tosfos and everybody else, it would be because of the issue of Jerabana of Zerath Merchot that we just said. The Rosh actually brings in this connection an interesting point also, that by the same token, this doesn't just apply to your whole body. By the same token, let's say if a person washed their hands on Shabbos for bread or for whatever else, he would have to dry them first before he starts warming up his hands in front of the fire, for the same reason, because otherwise you're heating up the water on Shabbos, and this that we said before about washing your face, hands, and feet would be water that was heated up before Shabbos. So in Shulchan Aruch it mentions that opinion and it says it's good to be machmir according to that. So according to that way of looking at it, even if you just rinsed off your hands or something, you should dry them off first before you heat them up in front of a fire or something. Another bright, so turn it up on them. Mechem adam aluntis the Shabbos. A person is allowed to heat up a towel on Shabbos. Umanichal v'nei me'ayim the Shabbos, and put it on a person who, on the stomach of a person who has a stomachache on Shabbos. We all know when a person has a stomachache, then hot things help with it. So like this, you put a hot towel on there, and it helps a bit with the stomachache. So you're allowed to do that. Although vachla yobi kumkum os shamayim chamin v'yanichenu agadu avnei me'ayim the Shabbos, but you're not allowed to take kettle of hot water and put it on his stomach on Shabbos. And actually, the job is that for the Bechol also actually using a kettle of hot water like that would be also, even on a weekday, because of the danger, because the hot water might spill all over him. But on Shabbos, aside from the Sakana, even if you have some way of making sure you don't have a problem with the Sakana, then you still have an issue with it on Shabbos. So what's the issue? Either the Beis Yosef says the problem is that the hot water might end up going all over his body, or most of his body, and he said, and then it's back to Gzeiras Merchot. The other possibility is we're talking about the water here was actually heated on Shabbos itself. Let's say, for example, it was heated then you'd have a problem with washing with it on Shabbos altogether. Then Tosfos brings him, then Tosfos brings two other explanations. Another explanation Tosfos says is that we're talking about when you have the towel and the water together. And the problem is the water may spill onto the towel, and then you're going to come to wring out the towel on Shabbos, which will be usur. And Tosfos brings a second explanation that we've learned before briefly, we're going to discuss in more detail later in the Masechta, that the Chachamim made a gzeira that you're not allowed to do things of refuah on Shabbos, things of healing. So just putting a towel there, just putting a hot towel over there doesn't really look so much like refuah, but putting over there a hot, but putting over there a kettle of hot water looks like more something that you do for refuah, and therefore such a thing would be offered. The Korban Nisano points out you have a nafkamina between these various reasons. What if it's a hot water bottle? So it's completely closed. So there's no concern the water is going to spill out. But if you say Tosfos is last reason, that the reason is because that's the reason you're not allowed to do it, is because you're not allowed to do refuah on Shabbos, then you wouldn't be able to do that. Then you wouldn't even be able to use a hot water bottle because you have the same issue. Because you still have it looks like refuah on Shabbos. This is all talking about, by the way, when we're just talking about it's a minor pain, and the person is not, you know, the person's life is not seriously in danger. Obviously, if it's the kind of thing where we're seriously in danger, then of course we're not talking about. Then you're allowed to do everything on Shabbos. And if it's chol she'en bo sakana, then the din is you're allowed to have various things done for him by a goy. Onward. Maybe other kifin ma'im, another brisa on related topic about we were saying about rinsing off in cold water and then standing in front of a fire. We would say you can't do that. So another brisa similarly, tananabanan, maybe other kifin ma'im, a person is allowed to bring a pitcher of water on Shabbos, umanichei kineged amadura, and put it near the fireplace. Loy b'shvil sheyechamu, not where he's putting it there in order for the water to actually get heated up, because of course that would be also that would be also on Shabbos. So cook the water on Shabbos would be also ela b'shvil shetopim sinosan, but just in order to take off some of the chill from it. In other words, basically that. You're not trying to get the water up to Yabsa, let us vote. You're just right now the water is freezing. You want to get it a little bit above that. So that you'd be allowed to do. So now Rashi uses the expression Loshi Yanichen Sham, not that you should put them there until they get hot, which implies that Rashi is saying you would actually be even allowed to put it in a place where conceivably if you left it for a while it would get up to Yatza Ladisboy, as long as you make sure to take it away before that. That's how Rashi is saying. But you have Tosfos later on and a number of other Rishonim say that no, what it means is you can't put the water so close to the fire that if it were to stay there, then it would end up getting to Yabsa Ledesboi, but you can put it in a place where it's far enough that it would never reach Yabsa Ledesboi, even if you left it there for a long time, and therefore you're just leaving it there in order to warm up a little bit. You have a similar concept when it comes to putting food on or near the stove on Shabbos. You have a similar concept. If you're putting it close enough to the burner where it could end up getting to Yad Saladis by on Shabbos, then you have a problem. But if you put it, let's say you took food out of the fridge and it's very cold and you want to warm it up a little bit, if you're going to put it far enough away from the burner where it's never going to reach Yad Saladis by, then you'd be able to do that. Continues the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda, Mavia Isha Pach of Shemen Umanichte Kneged Amadura. Rabbi Yehuda says, by the same token, a woman is allowed to take, the Gemara is going to point out soon what the difference between them is, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying that a woman can bring a jug of oil, Umanichate Kneged Amadura, and put it near the fireplace, again, Loi Vishvil Shiyabashal, not so it reaches the point where it actually cooks, where it actually gets heated up to Yad Saladis, right? Ela b'shul sheyifshar, just in order again for it to warm up a little bit, to thaw a little bit. So in other words, we're talking about, again, the oil was squeezing or almost squeezing, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you're allowed to put it there in order for it to warm up a little bit. Now, why are we using the expression she'echamu when it comes to water, why are we using she'echamu to heat them up when it comes to water, and she'evasho when we're talking about the oil? So you have a few different possibilities. One of them is because when you boil water, the water doesn't look any different afterwards than it did before, as opposed to oil, when you boil it actually looks different. So therefore the different expression. Another explanation, maybe Svar brings, is that another explanation is that it has to do with whether it's a klishon or klisheni, which the Gemara is actually now going to be dealing with shortly, the matter of klishon versus klisheni. So therefore, in other words, it gets into the question of which one of those is actually able to cook something on Shabbat. Okay. Continues the Braisa. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Isha Socha Yavah Shemen. Rav Shimon Gamliel says a woman is allowed to pour oil on her hand, Umhamanta Kenegan Amadura, and then heat up her hand in front of the fireplace. The Sochal is not cut, and then she can take some of the oil from her hand that now got warmed up a bit by the fire and put it on her son's hands or on her son's body. In those times, they used to smear themselves with oil regularly. It helped against insects, it helped as sunscreen, it helped to keep their skin soft for a lot of different purposes. So like this, she wants to put oil on her son, but the oil itself is cold, so she doesn't want to put it on when it's cold. She first puts it on her hand, warms it up a little bit by the fire, then puts it on her son. Then there's no problem with it. Okay. So now, we seem to have a machloikas of the Tanakama and the Yehuda. Now, we have the Tanakama mentioned putting water near the fire, and we have the Yehuda mentioning putting oil. So the Gemara is assuming that they're not just mentioning two different dinim, because obviously, if whatever applies to water applies to oil, so evidently there must be a machloikas between them. So what exactly is the machloikas? Now, you also have Rav Shimon Gamliel, because Rav Shimon Gamliel is not allowing him to do it the same as Rabbi Yehuda says, which is where you warm up the whole container of oil. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is allowing her to only warm it up on her skin. So fine, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel clearly argues with Rabbi Yehuda. But what exactly, what we have to figure out, what would the Tanakhama say about the oil that Rabbi Yehuda is mentioning? So go ahead.
One second. Sach is an halacha.
What do you mean Sach is a halacha?
Is a melacha on Shabbos?
No, it's not a melacha. No. No. Okay, what you're thinking of is, what it is, there is a melacha of called memachik, which means smoothing out something. So when you have something that's a thick cream or ointment or something, then you can't apply that on Shabbos. Yeah, because then it's smoothing it out. But here we're talking about oil, which is not such thick stuff. So you're allowed to smear it on your skin on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur, because Kippur, one of the five things you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur, is Sticha, but here we're talking Shabbos.
And Vaseline, can you put on Shabbos? It's not considered the same thing?
Vaseline has more of a thick consistency there, and I'm not sure about that.
So there's a difference between Memachek and Sach?
Yes. Memachek involves where you have some kind of thick ointment or cream or what have you, versus Sach, which involves thinner ones, yes. So again, so the question is, Rabbi Yehuda had mentioned taking a container of oil and putting it near the fire so it's cold, so it warms up a little bit, not enough to get the yatsumatis, right? The Tanakhama had only mentioned water, so Ibarilah was Shemin Ma'u the Tanakhama. What would the Tanakhama say about oil? Would he agree with Rabbi Yehuda that it's allowed, or would he say, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that the only way you can do it is on your skin? So Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, the Amitabayulah Tera. Rabba and Rabbi Yosef both say that the Tanakhama would say it's mutter. That they would say that even what Rabbi Yehuda says is after, when it comes to oil, the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, would allow. In other words, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, that Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that oil, you can't allow it to reach the Yadka Ladis, right? But Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef are saying, the Chachamim would say that oil, you can let it reach the Yadka Ladis, even. Rav Nachman's Chacham Ali Yisura. Rav Nachman's says that no, the Chachamim would answer what Rav Yehuda says. Rav Yehuda would say that you can put a whole container of oil over there, and the Chachamim would say more like Rav Shimon Gamliel that all you can do is a little bit on your skin. So let's analyze that. Rav and Rav Yehuda, Tanu Tavayu LaHetera. They say that the Tanakama is coming to be master what Rav Yehuda is asking. They explain like this: Shemen Aspicha Yad Tavayu. Even if the oil reaches Yad Tzavadisvay, then they would say the Tanakama holds mutter. It would be allowed to put it near the fire. Because Kavsava Tanakama, Shemen, Ein B'Mishum Bishul, because they hold that oil is not subject to the dinim of Bishul, because they hold, in other words, that Bishul only applies to something that Bishul only applies to something that changes because of the cooking. And here, it doesn't here when you cook oil, when you heat up oil, even to Yad Tzavadisvay, it doesn't really change. It doesn't really change. The Tanakama would hold that there's no significant change to the oil in such a way that there should be an issue of Bishul in our Shabbos. The author of Yehuda Lamema, Shemin Yeshva Bishul Bishul, then Rav Yehuda comes and says that no, oil is subject to Bishul just like anything else. So in other words, the Tanakama would say you could even put the oil close enough to the fire that it will actually reach Yad Tzavadisvay. Rav Yehuda would disagree and say you can't do that. You can only put it like what you, Tanakama, said with the water is what I say you can do with the oil. Only put it there not long enough or not close enough to become Yad Tzavadisvay. However, Rav Yehuda says, I am makel in the sense that I say that just making the oil a little bit warmer, reaching where it doesn't reach Yad Tzavadisvay, is not considered cooking. So in other words, Rav Yehuda would say, if it doesn't reach Yad Tzavadisvay, then I have no problem with it. Therefore, go ahead and put the whole container of oil, either, as Rashi says, even close enough to the fire that eventually it could reach Yad Tzavadisvay, as long as you remove it before that. Or according to the other Rishonim, to begin with, you put it far away enough that it's never going to reach Yad Tzavadisvay. That's fine. But if you were going to put it close enough and leave it there long enough to be Yad Tzavadisvay, then you would have a problem with it. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda. But also Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Lamema, then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel comes and says a further Chumra. He says, Shemen Yesh Ben Mishum Bishul, I agree with Rabbi Yehuda against the Tanakama that oil is subject to Bishul. So the concept of Bishul does apply to oil just like it would apply to water or anything else. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, they have Sheirei Zeho Bisholai. Not only that, I say that to warm up the oil, even to below Yad Tzavadisvay, is the equivalent of cooking it. Not literally the equivalent. It would only be also Dirabanan. But the Pnei Yeshua, that it would be only also Dirabanan. But therefore, he would say you would have to do it with a shinui. You would have to do it with a shinui that you would have to do like he described that you put some of it on your skin and warm it up by the fire and then take from that and put it on something else. So that would be according to Rabbah and Rav Yosef's understanding. According to Rabbah and Rav Yosef's understanding of the machloket and the braisa, that's what we're going with. Yeah, the Tanakama is the most makel. He would allow you even to heat up the oil to beyond Yad Tzavadisvay. Rav Yehuda would say not Yad Tzavadisvay, but less than that is fine. And Rav Shimon Gamliel would say even less than that would be also Dirabanan, and therefore you can only do it with a shinui. Rav Nachman took Amal Isura. On the other hand, Rav Nachman took understands that the Tanakama is coming to say something that something that Rav Yehuda says is mutter, that the Tanakama would say is osur, says Rav Nachman. So he would say, Shemen apapisha'ena yad tzavadisvay osur, the Tanakama would be saying that even if oil is not yet yad tzavadisvay, you're not allowed to put it anywhere near the fire, even if it's not going to reach yad tzavadisvay, because kosover shemen yeshvim mishum bishul, they have shere zeho bishuloy, because Rav Nachman Yitzchok says that the Tanakama holds the position that we just said, according to Rabbah and Rav Yosef, was Rav Shimon Gamliel's position. Rav Nachman Yitzchok attributes that same position to the Tanakama, that not only is oil subject to the dinim of Bishul, just like anything else, but even warming it up below Yad Tzavadisvay would be also completely. the author Rabbi Yehuda Lamena transferred a loy there will be sure, right? Rabbi Yehuda would be coming and make and then being makel and saying that no, I agree that you can't cook oil on Shabbos, but you can bring it up to the point below Yad Soledis, right? And therefore he says you could put it near, you could put it somewhere by the fire where it's not going to reach Yad Soledis, right? But also Rav Shimon Gamliel Lamena, then Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Shemen Yeshba Mishum Bishul, they have shared there will be sure. And Rav Shimon Gamliel would be saying, again, that oil is subject to bishul, and that even warming it up below Yad Soledis is also considered cooking it, and therefore that would be also. So the question is, in that case, Rav Shimon Gamliel, I know Tanakama, in that case, Rav Shimon Gamliel, according to this version, comes out saying the same thing as the Tanakama. The answer is, Ikka b'nayu k'la achol yad. The argument between them would be, if you do it k'la achol yad, with a shinui. Where again, the Shimon Gamliel is allowing you to do it with a shinui, where you put the oil on your hand, warm it up by the fire, to below Yad Soledis, and then take some of it and put it on somebody else. Rav Shimon Gamliel would allow that, but Tanakama would ask for it. So according to Rav Nachum Eitzchok, the order is, Rav Yehuda is, so again, according to Rabbi and Rav Yosef, the order is, the Tanakama is the most makel, then Rav Yehuda is more machmir, and then Rav Shimon Gamliel is more machmir on top of that. According to Rav Nachum Eitzchok's version, Rav Yehuda is the most, nobody allows you to bring it to Yad Soledis, according to his version. Everybody would agree it has to say Yad Soledis, but Rav Yehuda would say you're allowed to warm up a whole container like that. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you're not allowed to, but you are allowed to do it with a shinui on your hand. And the Tanakama would say not even that. Okay. The rule is, says Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, whether we're talking about oil or whether we're talking about water, Yad Soledis Bo Oster, if it reaches the point of Yad Soledis Bo, then it's also on Shabbos. Ain Yad Soledis Bo Mutter, but if it's below Yad Soledis Bo, then it would be Mutter. So the Heichidami Yad Soledis Bo, what is the definition of Yad Soledis Bo? They obviously didn't have thermometers in those days to be able to tell an actual temperature. So you have to be able to tell it. Literally, Yad Soledis Bo, by the way, means the hand would recoil from it. In other words, if you tried touching it with your hand, you would pull back your hand instinctively to not get burnt. The problem with that is different people have different tolerances for heat. Some people are able to tolerate much hotter things than others. So how can you figure it out like that? Omar Rachva. So Rachva says the rule is Yad Soledis Bo would be Kol Shekreise Shaltinik Nichvei. If the water or oil or whatever it is hot enough that if some of it were to spill on a baby's stomach, then the baby would get burnt. Then it's considered Yad Soledis Bo. Now, what is the actual definition in terms of actual temperature of Yad Soledis Bo? So it's not so clear. So you have the common understanding that we usually have for most purposes in halacha is that it means about somewhere around 110 or 113 or so degrees is usually considered to be Yad Soledis Bo. There are poskim achronim who say that maybe for certain purposes in halacha, maybe for purposes of hilchos Shabbos, that would be the definition. So therefore if you have any kind of food or drink or whatever, which you're heating up to the point where it might reach that temperature, about 110, 113 degrees or so, then it would be also on Shabbos. Less than that temperature would be mutter. For certain other purposes in halacha, For example, the question of when wine is considered to be cooked, as far as not being able to be yayin nesach anymore, then maybe we need higher definitions of yad soledis bo for such purposes. But for purposes of hilchos Shabbos, it's generally accepted as 113 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay. So we'll continue. We'll stop over here. We'll continue after Yom Tov Bez Hashem. We're going to talk more about this matter of heating up things on Shabbos and talk about Kli Rishon versus Kli Sheni, which we touched on before, and then we're going to get into some other interesting topics as well.
Which word are we holding now?
Now we're holding memo days about halfway down the wide line.
No, right. It's the Hechi Dami Yad Soledis Bo.
No, just the line after that. I'm going to be surprised if we're holding. Yeah.
Why is there a difference between sach with something that's sick and sach with something that's not sick? What's the difference?
Because again, you have a malacha on Shabbos called mimoreach. You have a malacha on Shabbos called smoothing out. The original av malacha of that was when you have, for example, a skin. You have a skin of an animal, which you're preparing to make leather, which in the Mishkan they needed that for the covering of the Mishkan, the Oros Elam Adamim, and Oros Koshin. So part of the process of preparing a skin for that is to smooth it out. So therefore you have a malacha on Shabbos called mamachik, smoothing. And it also, a tolda of it is when you have some kind of semi-solid substance, which you smooth out, for example, wax or whatever, would be also on Shabbos as well. And an outgrowth of that is therefore that if you have a thick cream, you mentioned before Vaseline, for example, might be an example of that, but you have other kinds of thick creams like that, where if you spread them out on Shabbos, then you have an issue of mamash. But when it comes to thinner things like oil, unless you start freezing the oil and it stiffens up, but regular plain oil that you pour out of a bottle is not thick enough that it should have the kind of consistency that smoothing it out on your skin or wherever would be considered mamachet. Therefore, it's mozer.
And it's similar to a pile of grain that you smooth out also?
Well, I mean, there you use a different word for it. That's memareach. But I don't think smoothing a pile of grain out on Shabbos would be also. I mean, when we talk about memareach, we're talking about you have a solid or semi-solid substance which you're smoothing out. We're not talking about over there where you have a pile of individual grains that you're smoothing out the whole pile. I don't know if that would be also on Shabbos. But here we're talking about where you have something solid or semi-solid and you're smoothing out the surface of it is also on Shabbos.
So let's say you have an oil fragrance, but it's oil. You're allowed to spread it on Shabbos?
Apparently. I mean, there might be other issues with it, which I'm not thinking of right now. But in terms of the halacha of memareach, yes, it would be allowed.
Mm-hmm. And sach, so now what's the difference between memareach and sach?
That's the difference? Memareach means spreading out something that has a certain thick consistency. Which is also versus sach, which is smearing an oil or something on your skin, which is allowed on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So when Motzi